Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Jen, only on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the show. Welcome to Monday, March 22nd.
It's Monday.
So we're officially into the spring, right?
Yes. Yesterday was the first day.
Yesterday was the first day of spring. We're into it. And I like spring. You know, it's nice.
It is nice.
It's the best of everything. You know, not too hot.
We kind of live every day in the spring that everyone else has. But spring for us is really lovely, I promise.
Yeah, it's not too hot. It's nice, you know, and the sun's shining.
Yes.
And that's cool. But it's the same weather every day, pretty much.
Pretty much, yeah. What I do love, though, is... like on the East Coast, it's really hot and humid all the time in the summer. And then you get in the car and it's like hot and stuffy, you know, that feeling. But here, you still get that chilliness outside. And then you get in the car and it's actually enjoyable when it's overly toasty.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. Except when it gets to 100 degrees, you know,
then it's you're a little like, too much.
That's a little too much.
Hurrying up, put the windows down, blast the AC. Gotta air it all out.
I know. We seem to be complaining about nothing.
But I know. First world problems.
Yeah, I know. Well, we're spoiled in LA, I suppose. I don't know.
We sure are.
You know, I mean, the weather you can't compare to anywhere in the world.
You can't. And right now, the thing about LA that I think is really adorable is that there's like, even in the middle of like a little field of trash, there will be some like really cute flowers that are like sprouting up. So right now, all of our like really pretty flowers are blooming. We have like all those like burgundy vines that are blooming everywhere, and just driving around, everything's kind of coming to life again.
That's true. Yeah, I drove around a little bit this weekend, and man, the traffic is back to the way it used to be. It's even worse.
It's on the weekend, getting there.
Yeah, on the weekend you get traffic jams, like rush hour traffic.
Yeah, I don't do anything specific on the weekends. Yeah. I try not to. The weird thing that I was actually thinking about this morning on my ride here about LA traffic that's really interesting is that, you know, you're flying, you're going fast, you're going 60, 70, 80, and then all of a sudden it's just like a wall of cars,
right,
and everyone has to hurry up and brake, and you see just everyone stop, doing the little swerve thing a little bit because they're afraid they're going to hit somebody.
I know, like it's going to help, right?
Yeah. But I don't think it's quite back to where it was. I find that like before you would just be sitting in one spot. Like I remember before the pandemic going to, where was I? I was in, I think I was downtown. And I had to go to the airport, LAX, to meet up with a friend who was staying at a hotel around that area. And it took me 3 hours to get there.
Wow.
3 hours. Yeah, I was like, and there was like nowhere. It's really hard to get through traffic that way. Nobody wants to let you over. And you're like, I have to go to the bathroom. Like, need to make a pit stop somewhere. Yeah, it took me forever. And I just remember sitting solidly in one spot for 20 whole minutes.
Yeah.
Not even a slight roll forward.
Jeez.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's gotten pretty bad. I mean, it stopped continuously this weekend, and I went out Saturday and Sunday, and people just want to enjoy their lives again. You know, that's the bottom line.
I know.
People are trying to get out. You can eat. You can eat out now, you know, and it's getting back to normal slowly but surely, you know.
Yeah.
I hope so. I don't know, man. I don't know if they come up with another outbreak or something, or a surge in those cases again.
I hope not.
I'm going to beat my head against the wall till I break it.
Definitely. I actually got my vaccine appointment on Friday.
Really?
Yeah, because it's open for people with pulmonary issues.
Oh.
Thank you, asthma. Thank you. The one time it's come in handy.
Right.
Yeah. So that'll be Friday.
Okay, so you get the two-part one?
Moderna. Yeah. You just got to check the websites.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I didn't even know. I've been just kind of waiting until I hear by word of mouth.
So what? So your name appears on the website?
No, not at all. They don't... It's kind of an honor system, to be honest.
I thought they said... I mean, somebody told me they went and they were turned back a few times.
It's possible.
If they're not the right age or whatever, you know?
It's possible. But I don't know.
Yeah, they were under 65, so they told them to go and come back. So I don't know at what point I can actually go ahead and get it.
Well, they just rolled out a different can get it with underlying conditions.
Okay.
Asthma being one of them.
I thought that was already available. I don't know. What, no?
It just became available maybe a week ago, maybe a little bit more. My number on that might be a little off, but yeah, recently.
Well, congratulations. You know, I know you're pretty uptight about it and everything.
Happily uptight.
Yeah. No, I mean about the COVID thing altogether.
Yeah, yeah. Definitely.
But the vaccine does provide some hope, so.
I hope.
Yeah.
We'll see.
Are you, you're not afraid of the needle or anything?
I mean, I don't love it. I don't prefer it, but I'm more afraid of, my friend had the vaccine and she said her and her boyfriend were both just like sick as a dog all day.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
For one day though?
She said it's been a few days and her arm still hurts and she still feels a little sick.
Jeez, man.
Yeah. I think she has a compromised immune system to begin with. He doesn't. And he's still feeling a little weird, but I think she's a little worse off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I guess everybody reacts differently to it, huh?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, a lot of people are saying that they experienced hurt a lot. Like his hips were aching and aching and aching. Like your really? Bones will hurt.
Wow.
Which is scary to me.
Yeah. It's very scary.
Yeah.
You know,
I actually saw this video. People, because so many people have been talking about how they don't trust the vaccine because it's so new. And I thought that too. I was like, I don't know what they've done with it, you know. Right. But I was listening to this scientist. I haven't done too much extra research, but just to throw another thing in the pile of uncertain facts. This scientist was talking about how this vaccine isn't brand new. They've actually been working on it since like the SARS outbreak.
Right.
So it's not completely new. They've just had to alter it a little bit because of this specific strain.
Right. Well, that's what they've been saying. I don't know.
Yeah. You
know? But at any rate, yeah, well, I mean, they do have technology now to probably speed up the process and everything, but you know,
we'll
I don't
see.
Know. Yeah.
We'll see.
I'm a little iffy about it. You know, I mean, it's a pretty big deal, you know, to have a vaccine into your body, especially two shots. And but we don't really have much of a choice, I guess.
No.
You know, pretty much they're going to give people passports and, you know, for vaccine, you won't be able to get on a plane.
So everyone's going to get this little yellow card, or no, it's a little white card. But what I actually found out from some flight attendants is that that card is going to become obsolete because it's going to be so easy to be replicated. So what you actually will need to do eventually when you're starting to travel with the vaccine is you're going to have to go on the World Health Organization website and request this yellow card. And then they'll send you the yellow card, and that's what you'll be able to actually travel with.
Hmm. Yeah. That's pretty shitty, man.
Yeah.
Because I want to start traveling, you know?
Definitely. I'll tell you, flight attendants have all the information.
Yeah.
They really do. Every time I talk to a flight attendant, it's like a knowledge bomb every time.
Yeah.
All the way down to never drink the coffee on an airplane.
Yeah. Yeah, they're pretty much at risk, though. You know, I mean, they go through so many people. It's unbelievable.
So many people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In a few minutes, we're going to have a guest calling in, as is usually the case. We're going to have an actress calling in, so we're going to talk to her.
Wonderful.
And nominated for the Oscar.
Amazing.
What was it? One was Seen Through or something? Or
oh, yeah, yeah.
Something Through, right?
Feeling Through? Feeling Through, yeah. Yeah. The deafblind actor.
Right.
Yeah.
And they were ecstatic. They videotaped themselves hearing the announcement.
Oh, I would love to see that. Did you see the video?
Yeah, I saw that.
I would love to. Where can you find that?
It's on the internet. Well, it's on Facebook under Catherine's profile. I'll let you see it later.
Yeah, I would love to.
And what other movie? I'm trying to remember.
I know Netflix just rolled out an entire Oscar nominee section.
Really?
Of Netflix, yeah. There's a lot of great films on there. So if you want to just kind of pile through them all.
Yeah. I don't know what movies came out this year, you know? I mean, the thing is, you know, I mean, only the ones that were shown on TV, like what they had, the Disney movie, the Mulan movie.
Oh, that was awesome.
Yeah. And then there were a few, you know, that they introduced, but
yeah,
nothing much, you know. So I know. I guess.
And I don't even have a TV, so I only see what the internet gives me. And then I just see, I was in West Hollywood yesterday, and there's a lot of billboards around there. So I saw some stuff like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was in West Hollywood the other day, this weekend, because I was just driving through town with a friend and stuff. And we went to eat at Shake Shack. Have you ever eaten there?
No.
Yeah, man, I missed the hamburger so much, you know, because I haven't had any in a while, you know.
Yeah.
And I don't eat fast food anymore anyway, you know.
Every now and again.
Yeah, it just felt good, you know.
When I do fast food in L.A., I haven't eaten fast food in like 10 years. It's been so long. But when I moved to L.A., there was like all this vegan food at all the fast food places.
Right.
So I was like, wait a minute. So, yeah.
You know, like the veggie burgers and stuff.
Oh, yeah. Burger King's got the Impossible Burger. In a pinch, I'll go there. Even Del Taco. After a few drinks, Del Taco always sounds good. Someone's like, let's go to Del Taco. I'm like, yeah.
I know, after a few drinks, everything sounds good.
That's true. That's really true. That's so true.
Yeah.
So many times I've gone out with like, usually other women, and we're like, yeah, we're just going to have a drink and we're not going to eat anything. And then we have a drink. We're like, let's get another. And then halfway through the second one, we're like, let's get nachos.
Yeah. Let's get something.
Here's my thing about nachos. Like, it always sounds like an amazing idea. Uh-huh. And I think when we went to that weed cafe, I got nachos and experienced the same thing. It's always so disappointing. Like, all the flavors are there. The textures are there. Every component that I want in nachos is there, except it always goes cold and just becomes like a pile of like chilled goo on chips.
That's true. That's exactly what happens.
So I feel like when the nachos hit the table, it's like a food I have to eat in private because you have to eat them rapidly so they stay in appropriate temperature.
Or just tell everybody, come on, let's rush and eat this.
Yeah, totally. But everyone, I hate a casual nacho.
Yeah.
You just can't eat nachos casually.
That's true. That's what happens to them.
It's
just
so sad.
A blob.
It is. It's so like cold. I'm just like, it's cold beans and stuff. Yeah.
That's true. Yeah.
Such a letdown.
Yeah. That's why I guess you get it with a few people and you finish it fast. You know.
I hope so. Every time I get nachos, though, I'm always with people that are like, let me show you this video on my phone for 10 minutes. And I'm like, nachos are dying.
Wow.
Yeah.
So did you have a good weekend?
What did I do this weekend? I mostly worked this weekend.
Yeah. God keeps you busy. I need to get into trouble, you know?
Yeah, I need trouble too.
Yeah.
I went out with a friend late, last Wednesday. She texts me, and her and I both go to bed really early and wake up early. So she was like, let's go get a drink. Come on, come on, come on, come on. And I was like, okay, fine. And so we ended up getting ready at like 9 o'clock at night and went and got drinks over at Gracias Madre, which was awesome. They had a gorgeous outdoor patio and...
Oh,
it was
nice. Yeah, you guys have a lot of stuff downtown, huh?
This was actually in WeHo.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
But downtown's got some stuff. I don't really like to go downtown, though. It's just like, it's like being in New York. Like, someone's always screaming, and there's like smells. And every time I go downtown, I get into like an argument with somebody.
Really?
Every single time.
Wow.
Like, I was parking.
People on the street? Just
in the street, in the car, wherever. And people downtown also have this, like, really, like, crazy look in their eye. Like, everyone's just looking at you. I'm like, are you going to, like, maul me? Or, like, what's about to happen here? Because I got to be prepared.
Right.
But I remember I was parallel parking this one time. And my car, like, you know when you just, like, you're going like a half a mile an hour and you just lightly tap the bumper in front of you. No big deal. This guy just like gets out of his car and starts completely flipping a switch on me, telling me that I'm high and drunk and driving. And I was not, I just like left class. Like I had to like call the cops and the cops came and the guy just like zoomed off and
really,
yeah, it was a mess.
Jeez.
Yeah.
So for like a fender bender that nothing even happened.
It wasn't even a fender bender. It was a tap.
And the police came for that?
Well, they came because this guy was screaming and he was threatening to start smashing my windows.
Really?
Yeah.
Did you call the police?
Yeah, I did.
Oh, good for you. Yeah.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah. totally. He was like, I'm going to fuck you up. Sorry, can I say
Jeez,
that?
Yeah. Of course. No, you don't know by now. But it's true, yeah.
Yeah.
Jeez, man. People are fucked up, man.
Yeah.
They really are.
I know. And yeah.
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 You know, in Miami Beach, people are like going crazy there. Did you hear? They arrested like 1,000 people because they have such rowdy crowds there.
Because of the spring break.
Yeah. They filled the streets. You know, they're going crazy, fighting with the police and everything.
Yeah.
And you go, what the hell is this? You know?
They're already writing about COVID angst in textbooks.
Yeah.
They already are.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
I know. I know. But, so they set a curfew at 8 o'clock for people not to get out. We'll see what happens there. You
yeah,
know?
Right.
But they're telling them to don't come here.
Oh my gosh, Florida yeah. is a wild place.
Would you live in Miami? Have you been there?
I haven't been to Miami. Mm.
Hold on, we're getting a call right now, so Excellent. We might as well take that. And good morning. You're on the air with Jen and Sam.
Hello.
Hello. You with us? Hello? I hear somebody.
Oh, good morning. It's Meredith calling.
Yes, Meredith.
Hey, Meredith.
Good morning, Meredith. How are you?
Hi.
You're here with Jen and Sam.
I'm well. Hi, Jen.
Uh-huh.
Hi, Sam.
Hey.
Hi. Meredith Thomas. Hi. You're an award-winning actress. We always like to talk to stars. So thank you for calling.
Of course. Thank you for having me.
Of course. Where are you calling us from today?
I'm in Los Angeles.
Oh, you are?
Oh, wow.
Okay, cool. Well, mm-hmm. that's where actors live, right?
Yeah, that's true.
That's the place to be.
Yeah. One of the places, right. You probably talked yeah. to a lot of London talent for Catherine, right?
That's true, yeah. And actually, talent from... She deals with movies from all over the world, you know? I mean, we talked yes. to a director from India yeah. and... many other places.
So many. She's yeah. awesome.
So, yeah, she always sends. Yeah. And if you're associated with her, you're going to continue to do well because she seems to align herself with winners all the time. You know, we were just talking about a couple of the movies she's done PR for that were nominated for the Oscars, you know.
Last year, too.
Yeah, last year, too. So.
Oh, yeah. She's just killing it there. She's got... I don't know how many Oscars she has for that category, but yeah, right. she's doing so well. It's
right.
so awesome.
Yeah. That's for live action short film. And we've spoken to a few people over the years and they always seem to be winning. So it's a good thing to work with her for sure.
I better give her a call.
Yeah. You know, you need a short film for
her. I'm going to try to get her an Emmy this year.
Oh, that's great. Cool. So,
yeah.
So you're in a bunch of A&E Lifetime movies, right?
That's right.
Okay, mm-hmm. So tell us about it. I mean, I've seen like there's 4 upcoming films with you in them, so that's quite impressive. You know,
love
you,
it.
You've been busy.
I've been busy. Yeah, I've been. I kind of broke into this Lifetime market and. I like to say I just keep getting repeat customers. So it's great fun to explore all these kind of crazy characters. And yeah.
yeah.
Now, we're not live yet, are we? Or are
yeah.
we?
Oh, no, we're live. You're right. Everybody's hearing you.
Oh, right. Okay. Oh, okay. I wasn't sure if you were preparing me. So
no, not at all. Not at all.
Right out of the gate.
Yeah.
Well, actually, yeah, right. Yeah. Good morning. I'm glad I woke up to get my coffee, so I had my radio voice on.
But, excellent. Yeah.
Yeah, I am absolutely. my television movie career started, and actually, Sam, it was, I came in a few years ago. So in 2016 was, I like to say what started my career was a Christmas movie in television movies. It was a Christmas movie called A Christmas in Vermont that I did with Chevy Chase.
Oh.
And that was my first, I think that was pretty much my first TV movie role. And it was an amazing experience that kind of broke me into the amazing TV movie genre of holiday movies, which has just, as you guys know, it just exploded. So it's become this whole genre from Hallmark to Lifetime and all these other networks which are jumping on board. So that was my first TV movie. I continue to do Christmas movies. Catherine calls me the Christmas Queen. And then...
Yeah, that's what I saw you in six Christmas movies. Wow.
I love it.
I love my holiday movies. My mom basically, every time I have a new movie coming out for television, she says, oh, was it one of those really nice movies like Christmas in Vermont? Or is it one of those, you know, killer slasher movies like the Lifetime movies? So I pretty much jump back and forth from the nice warm and fuzzy Christmas time to The Woman in Peril. And this year I finally got to play a full-fledged Lifetime villain.
Yes.
In one called, let me think, they all are dangerous. They all have killers. I can figure out my that. Oh, that was Killer Therapy. Like I said, they all have killer or dangerous in them.
Yeah.
So that was great fun because I'm usually playing the mom defending her child. And this one, I was the person that needed to be defended against. And, I had such a great time playing this, zany at best, horrible therapist at worst role. But I shot that during the pandemic, so I had a lot to draw from in the way of frustration.
Yeah,
I think villain characters are so fun. They're like so much meatier. You know, like growing up, we sometimes as actors think we want to play, you know, the girl next door or like the star of the film. But then I don't know, now that I'm an adult, I'm kind of like, give me the villain all the way.
They are meatier. They're fun to play. Jen, I was exactly like that. When I was cast as Sandy in Grease in high school, I really wanted to be Rizzo. I really wanted to be the bad girl. Or the seemingly bad girl, because there's usually a little bit more of an arc there to play. And
yes.
So I'm lucky. So I'm doing a few villains. I just wrapped another Lifetime movie and I play the villain's mom. So that was fun because her badness had to come from somewhere. So it's fun to play the mom of the villain too as well, because I got to play a little bit villainous there instead of the standard mom in peril.
Right. You know, this is kind of surprising to me because I thought Lifetime movies were kind of like sweet and you know, like love stories and family stories, and here you're in movies called Killer Advice and Dangerous Medicine. And you know, so what is that about? They changed the format or what's happening there?
Well, I think that traditionally Hallmark kind of had the more of the sweet romantic comedies. Uh-huh. And then Lifetime, unless it's a Christmas movie, I feel like Lifetime, is really going in the direction of women in peril fighting back from something. I'd love to do a little, honestly, I'd like to mix a little bit more rom-coms and love stories in between. That would be fun for me. But they have definitely gone in the direction of more of the killer and the dangerous. And it's interesting. I don't know when that huge shift happened, but I'm not going to complain because it's been my bread and butter for the last few years. I like to say I live a lifetime in every movie. I mean, it's a lot to jump into because there's a lot of drama happening in these roles. Mm.
Yeah. Meredith, where did you get your training for acting?
I started when I was really young. I grew up the second part of my childhood, I was in New Hampshire, and I pretty much knew what I wanted to do from elementary school. So I was singing and doing plays as early as elementary school, and I did my first professional theater show when I was still in elementary school. I did Annie at a summer stock theater in New Hampshire. And then from there, I did all the training my mom could get me back in New Hampshire. And then after a year on a theater scholarship at the University of Hampshire I decided I just had to be in California. I had such wide, big stars for the West Coast, stars in my eyes. And I studied at the American Academy of Dramatic Arts, which is actually the oldest conservatory acting program in the English-speaking world. It's actually older than the Royal, older than RADA, which most people don't know. So I studied there and then just basically hit the ground running as soon as I graduated from the American Academy, and was really, really blessed to align myself with some people that had been in the industry before I had. I ended up becoming a nanny to a couple of working actors and living in their guest house. And they became my mentors. So I was helping to raise their children, and they were pretty much helping to raise me as an actress. So
I love that.
It sounds good. So yeah. Your upcoming film is, let's see, The Wrong Valentine and The Wrong Mr. Right. So tell us a little bit about this one.
Well, I started doing the wrong movies a couple of years ago. I think maybe The Wrong Valentine was my sixth or seventh wrong movie. They all have Vivica A. Fox in them, who also produces, which I love. So they have become this series on Lifetime. So everything is so I've now done, I did the last one, The Wrong Valentine. Some of my favorite roles in The Wrong Movies, it started with one called The Wrong Crush. And I did The Wrong Boy Next Door. And they just love them. So they just keep, these wrong movies just keep coming out. I've done so many wrong movies that my dad just puts wrong in front of everything. He'll call me up and he'll say, how's the wrong dog? You know, how's the wrong boyfriend? How's the wrong car? So my last one I did, with Vivica was The Wrong Valentine, and it'll continue to air. It aired right around Valentine's Day, but this will continue on Lifetime for hopefully a very long time, long time. But the last one was I got to play the smart woman that's trying to warn everyone in The Wrong Valentine. I seem to be the only one that's on to The Wrong Valentine and how wrong he is, which means I don't survive the whole film because you got to get rid of the savvy person that's about to out you.
Right.
So I played a guidance counselor in that one, which was great fun because I'd just come off of playing a killer therapist. So being able to go back to being the helpful, savvy woman in one of these films was a nice change for a minute.
Yeah, that's pretty.
But I love working with Vivica. She's just such a powerhouse, and she just gets things done, and she's just very welcoming and she's powerful and kind all in one. So she's a great role model.
That's
and
awesome.
She's had a very long. You know, she keeps working, and she's been doing this for a long time. So it's very inspirational. And I'm moving into producing myself. So it's one of the reasons I have such great respect for her as well.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I was going to ask you about that because they also mentioned here that you're a producer. What does that involve for you? It's obviously, do you find it to be more demanding than acting, or how does that work?
I think producing definitely works the other side of my brain. You know, I have, you know, I get to be so creative with the acting. And then there's this part of me that's this A-type personality that always wants to be running the show. So the producing really helps me with that, because when I'm on set as an actress, I'm, you know, you're saying other people's words, yeah. You know, you're on somebody else's time schedule. Meredith, stand here. Meredith, say that, which I love. And, but
you're
to
at the
be
mercy.
Able to yeah. have a little bit more control in the way a direction, a project is going is really cool too. So
right.
I am kind of learning as I go, as a producer. And again, like kind of the story of my career, grabbing people that have done it before me to teach me how to do it. So I started by just jumping on in producer capacity and some of the things which I was starring in. But now this past year, I actually jumped on board and actually for the first time produced something that I'm not in. So that's kind of fun because I can step back and really put on that business role. And it's not colored by, you know, what my performance looks like or how I want the world to see my performance. Is really, I can really focus on the project and where I feel like that it should land and the story that it should be telling. So that has been really fun. And I produced something this year called Stacks, with a longtime friend in the industry who is a producer and a casting director, who's hired me on the daytime Emmy ballot for that. Mm, so
nice.
Yeah. So
very
yeah.
Exciting.
Yeah. So now I'm stepping back and doing, since I just wrapped my last movie on Saturday, I'm stepping back and doing a little bit more focus and producing and getting our film out there. And, you know, getting the daytime Emmy voters to have a look at this project that we're so proud of.
Very nice. Very cool. So you're quite established by now. I mean, I think you've found your place in the filmmaking business. You know, congratulations to you. I mean, that's very impressive. You sound like you're very happy with your life. And that's the bottom line.
Yeah, that is the bottom.
I think so. I think you know, I always say, you know, you do what makes you happy and don't be afraid to change course if it no longer makes you happy.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say that I had on my dream board or vision board necessarily that I was going to be, you know, doing Lifetime movies, but I can't complain for the way it turned out, or I never had producing on my list of things to do, but it's so exciting and challenging. But I think, yeah, just don't be afraid to let this industry has shifted a lot in the last year. Don't be afraid to be willing to shift with it. And if it no longer makes you happy, you know,
do it.
Follow something else that does make you happy.
Yeah.
As you guys, it's just too short. It's too darn short to be unhappy for too long.
That's true.
Well, Meredith Thomas, can people find you like on social media and stuff? Where can people find you?
Yes, pretty much everywhere. I am at Meredith Actress. That's Meredith, M-E-R-E-D-I-T-H, Actress.
Right.
So pretty much on all the social media platforms, you'll find me there, at Meredith Actress.
Sound Lifetime. Channel some of the movies, Killer Advice, Dangerous Medicine, and The Wrong, just pretty much everything.
yeah, that's true.
All right, Meredith, thank you so much for calling in and enlightening us about acting and so forth. We always like that. And much more success to you. We wish you the best.
Thank you so much, Sam and Jen. You guys have a great week.
Thanks,
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye. There you go, Jen. More lessons and inspiration.
Definitely.
You know? I mean, my God, you know, it's like you become so busy making films that it's just, well, a dream come true for many people.
Yeah.
You know? I wish it on you too, you know, by the way.
Yeah, thank you.
You know, put in, pay your dues.
I'm definitely paying my dues.
Yeah,
I
right.
mean, I got into producing because I wanted to keep working in film, and it happened to be something that I was good at. And then I actually really started liking it.
Yeah.
And so I totally am on the same bandwagon of acting, producing. I think it's like the best thing.
Yeah.
You know, it's she's so on point about both sides of your brain, because it's like you're on set. Like for me as a producer, when I'm producing, I still look at the actors and go, oh, man, you know, but when I'm acting, I look at the producers and I'm like, I know what they're going through, you know. Right. So my goal in working around set was kind of to be able to relate to everybody and know everyone's position.
Right. Do producers get involved in the day to day? Making of the film?
Oh, yeah. Well, there's different kinds of producers.
Right.
There's like line producers who deal with mostly budget. There's creative producers who are working with all of the department heads as far as locations go and coordinating and things like that. And then you have like project managers and coordinators, which are also producers. They're the ones taking care of logistics, permits, and all that kind of stuff.
Right.
And then there's like post-production producers. So there's always a producer on set that's also watching everything and making sure, you know, if it's a commercial, they're the one liaising with the client to make sure the client right. who's on set is also happy with what's being filmed and things right. like that.
Huh.
Yeah.
Very interesting, because there's just a lot of people in movie making, you know.
So many people.
I mean, I just saw the Justice League on Showtime.
Mm. Yeah.
And I mean, it's the amount of work there is unbelievable.
Yeah,
you know, to coordinate so many actors and extras, and then all the people behind the scenes.
Right, and then the whole post production on something like that. Right. You have all the VFX, and VFX is probably the longest process
right.
of it all,
because
they have to go like frame by frame a lot
right.
of times.
They have to, they have to render it, you know, and which takes the longest, really.
Yeah.
The computer just has to figure out what each frame is going to look like.
Yeah.
Yeah. I know I did animation and stuff, and I know
that's
what's
right.
involved. But yeah, that takes the longest, you know. That's
so
why
long.
Pixar films take a long time to make, you know.
Yeah.
But
and post-production always takes so much. Even without VFX, right. it takes longer than you could ever anticipate.
Yeah, right.
For sure.
Because that's where you tell the story pretty much, in the editing.
Yeah, people don't realize that the editor has so much say in right. how the movie comes out.
Right.
So
even
much
though
say.
The director is there,
yeah,
still the editor is the one that actually puts it together and stuff.
Definitely.
You know?
They're dealing with the timing and right. and all of that.
Yeah, yeah. Wow. Yeah, being an editor, I think, is a lot of responsibility, too, you know?
It is. You have to make sure, like, your frames match up. And, you know, like, in one scene, if you know, if you're sitting right there and there's a glass there, we have to make sure that the next time the camera cuts back to you, the glass hasn't been moved. Because that happens a lot.
Does it?
Yeah. Next time you watch film, just, like, look for little things like that. You'll see
like
it a lot.
Continuity and stuff.
Especially in low-budget stuff, because low-budget stuff, everyone's doubling up on jobs. So the continuity person is probably also the scripty, or is also somebody else and also somebody right. else. So sometimes things just go under the radar.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Jeez, you know, that's a lot of work. I mean, I admire people that make movies.
Yeah, I can't do continuity or script supervisor. It's like way too, for me, that's like the most pressure.
Really?
Yeah, I can't. I'll handle everything else. I can't handle that though.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's pretty interesting.
I'm like, wait, was the cup there? Was it an inch over? Where did it go? Will they know that you like picked it up and drank from it and put it down in a different spot? Like, yeah, too much.
Yeah. Wow. So let's see what's going on. Check this out. An Olympic surfing hopeful. She is from El Salvador. I guess she's a swimmer surfer, right?
Mm.
So she was practicing and training and was hit by lightning and killed.
Really?
Yeah. And I'm like, What are the odds, you know?
Yeah, the odds?
Yeah, you're training for the Olympics and everything, and then this happens, you know? She's very young, 22 years old, I know.
I didn't even know they had Olympic surfing.
Yeah, I think they started recently. I heard somewhere that they were making surfing a sport in the Olympics.
It's quite impressive.
Right?
Every time I see somebody surfing a huge wave, the whole time my stomach's in knots. I'm like, how can anyone do that?
Right, right.
It hurts.
And they get so good at it, you know?
So good. They make it look so easy. They're just chilling on the board.
Yeah.
I'm like, there's a huge wave behind you. I get a wave that goes like just over my head. And I'm like, full panic.
And sometimes I wonder about, you know, because the surfers are usually together. Mm. And I'm like, aren't you afraid the board's going to hit your head or somebody
else's
board?
That's what I think. Or you guys are going to clank your own heads together.
Right.
Or someone's foot's going to kick you or, you know.
I know.
I've gone down and gotten hurt in like 3 feet of water before in the ocean. After last summer in Jersey, we had a hurricane and we went in the water like a day or two after. And the waves were so rough. We kept getting knocked down. I like fell. My arm got cut up from just like shaving against the sand on the bottom.
Oh, my God.
I was like, meh.
Yeah. I know. Talking about hurricanes, that kind of worries me. If I decide to move to Florida one day, you know?
You'll be fine.
You think so?
Yeah, things are structurally built to withstand. When I lived there, we had a couple hurricanes and everything was fine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you buy an older house or something, you know, that might
the
case. But and besides, you get floods, you get all this stuff. But I don't know, the first warning, I'd probably take off and go somewhere. But
yeah, they usually have shelter
leave their
areas.
Stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. When I worked, when I lived in Orlando, I worked at Disney and they had us sign an agreement that if there was a hurricane during one of our shifts or was about to start during our shift, we wouldn't leave to go home for it. We would stay there and stay sheltered there.
Yeah. I guess they have a lot of places they can shelter you.
Yeah, they do.
But some people, I guess, they're saying that... like property tax and stuff is so high because, you know, I mean, here people get earthquake insurance, but it's not as expensive because it doesn't create damage like it does in Florida.
Really? I heard that earthquake insurance was really expensive. Or was it fire insurance?
I don't know. But
I don't know.
I don't think earthquake is that expensive.
I know fire insurance is really expensive here.
Yeah, since all the fires.
Yeah.
I know. That's pretty scary, man.
So scary.
But everywhere you go, there's problems. There's nature.
Yeah.
Natural disasters, you
and
know?
If there isn't, then you're living in a place where, like, nothing ever really happens, most likely. Like, there's never any, like, crazy weather back home.
Yeah.
But right. I'm also just like...
Well, you just mentioned there was a hurricane there, you know?
Well, it's like, it's a hurricane, but it's not like a Florida hurricane.
Yeah.
You know?
It just dumps some snow and that's it?
No, it'll be like, that would be a blizzard.
Okay.
The hurricane is just like a lot of rain for a lot of heavy rain for like a week and a lot of wind.
Yeah.
Might knock down some power lines.
Yeah.
And a couple trees. Trees will definitely be down.
Really?
That's it though.
Yeah. You know what's interesting is somebody told me and then they showed me how prices in the city in New York have gone down quite a bit to live there for rent. Or purchases, whatever. And that's unbelievable, you know?
Yeah,
I mean,
prices
some of the prices
great.
Are, you know, I mean, what is it? A lot of people left or?
Oh, so many people left the city.
Really?
Yeah, everyone's like, what am I going to do here?
Yeah, if they don't have to work there, they don't go there.
Yeah, they're just in their tiny little apartment. It's not like in the middle of the pandemic in the winter, they can just go outside and play. Like,
right.
It's New York. It's freezing. It's windy.
Yeah.
No one goes outside in the winter anyway.
Right. Maybe now it's time to buy something if people are going to buy something in New York City, you know?
Yeah, the prices will go back up eventually.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
You know? So now's a good time. I couldn't believe those prices when I was showing them, you know?
Yeah, it was not like that before.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's wild.
I know. It's unbelievable. Check this out. Louisiana priest was charged with vandalism after... He had a threesome with two dominatrixes, and they had it at the altar.
And they vandalized
they had sex.
It?
Well, no, but that's, well, I guess, well, it's because they had to, the church actually got rid of the altar and got a new one
because they felt it was contaminated.
Probably, you know. I mean, would you want an altar after people had sex on it?
Well, I guess.
It's funny, man.
I mean, if he's the one at the altar.
Right.
Did he get fired?
And that's a priest, man. It's not just anybody, you know. I mean,
are priests the one that can't sleep with people?
I think so, yeah.
Or is that a minister?
I don't know. I think priests do, but because I don't know much about it. But nevertheless, I mean, there are people that are supposed to be like, you know, a little
holy.
Respected.
Yeah.
But
again,
it shows you, I mean, you
people
know,
with the sex thing, they just
exactly.
can't.
Exactly. Sex drive will make you do crazy shit.
Yeah, like just go in a room, go in the car, something.
Yeah.
On the altar, come on. I mean, that's got to be like a fantasy they're trying to live
yeah,
out.
A fantasy or something.
For sure.
You know?
Yeah.
Which makes him even more wacko, you know?
Mm-hmm. Definitely. Definitely.
Jeez. I remember when a couple had sex at St. Patrick's Cathedral. A
Where's
long
that?
Time ago. Isn't that like in New York?
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Yeah. And so they were arrested for that. That was some time ago. But they wanted to do this as part of a radio show. And they wanted to impress or whatever, you know. So, but they got caught too. So, yeah. I don't know. I guess there's some kind of attraction in doing it where it's like prohibited. And
yeah,
stuff,
of course.
You know?
It's like it's. Doing the dirty, you know, really, really doing it.
Yeah, right.
You know,
in a prohibitive place.
That's I guess that's part of the whole thing. You right. know, that's the rush of it.
Yeah.
You know, I'm like, go do it at like Target or something. You know,
or in the car, like you said. You know.
Yeah, in front of the church.
Yeah.
Or wow. at least like in the outfit, you know, like in the priest outfit.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
Like that. That
well, that probably happened. You
I'm
know?
Sure. But like, you know, you got to, if you got to weigh your risks, right? And right. if the risks outweigh the reward, well, I guess it depends on how much you consider that a reward.
Right.
But,
and two dominatrices, you know, I mean, it wasn't enough for one. He needed two.
Yeah.
to kick his ass. Or whatever
I know. All
doing.
That sexual oppression from religion is really just.
That's it. You know?
Yeah.
That's why you have so much child abuse, which is horrendous, but that's pretty much the case. You know,
yeah.
these people are being denied the basic need, you know?
Yeah. And so they're just revved up.
Right.
Yeah. It makes them crazy.
Doesn't go away, you know?
Totally.
So they take advantage of helpless kids, and which I think is just the worst thing you can do. You know,
yeah,
I mean, you
definitely.
Want to talk about sins. You can't go much worse than that.
No,
you know,
fucking
up a kid's life, you know?
Oh yeah. And I think as far as like kinks are concerned, not that being with a child is a kink. I don't think that's a kink. That's very wrong. Kinks, I think, have a place. I think as far as kinks go, I think a lot of kinks do come from people just feeling sexually oppressed.
Right.
Or, you know, people not having access to it or no one to do it with. I think, like, there's something that happens in people's brains that makes them kind of, like, their brain starts reaching out past just the vanilla, quote unquote, stuff.
Right. If it's, yeah, because it gets to be like not enough, you know, they want more.
Yeah.
But also I think a lot of kinks happen at childhood, you know, because
sure.
kids are exposed to things before they should.
Yes.
So you get like foot fetish and shit like that, which I can't understand. But people have that.
That's
you know?
One of the mild ones. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, they have men that like to dress as women, you know, and, you know, like to be beaten up or whatever, you know, with
yeah.
dominatrix.
And all very privately.
Right, you know.
Yeah.
So it's crazy. It's crazy.
I guess whatever floats your boat, you know.
Yeah.
I remember this is intimate information. When I was working in New York, when I had first moved to New York, I had this like row with this boss that I was working with, and he refused to pay me. So I was like really short on money, and I was like not able to pay rent. And I was like, desperate times call for desperate measures. It was like that. And so I do what every broke, desperate person does, is I go on Craigslist and I found this, you know, get a foot massage, have your feet massaged and kissed for $20 for every 10 minutes. And I was like, well, I'll come back to that. Well, like a week passed, and I kept thinking about it, and I was like, let's see what this is about. So it was a foot fetish party. I made a friend go with me, and you have like wardrobe, certain wardrobe you have to wear, and they check everyone's feet before the sessions. And there's like all these girls like lined up with like fresh pedicures, and then all these men with wedding rings come in, and they just like, everyone's like laying on couches, and these guys are like massaging your feet and like kissing your feet, and like they have private rooms that my friend actually went and did and never told me what happened in there. She refused to talk about it. Wow. Yeah, so I didn't get crazy into anything too heavy. I made a couple bucks and
why not, if you can, we gotta go.
I know. I met a couple really nice gentlemen. It was funny though.
I don't know, I'm still trying to figure out that kink or whatever you want to call it, you know.
They love the toes or something. Yeah. I don't know what it is. My dad was a foot doctor and he didn't have a foot fetish.
Yeah,
you know, I was like, yeah, you would think.
Because you see all the gross parts of the feet.
Yeah, totally.
You know, as a doctor.
Yeah. And I used to go to office with him, so I would always see like all the different feet and as they age. And
yeah,
it's just disgusting. Not a good. Yeah.
Feet are not very clean either.
No, it's just something about it grosses me out.
I know.
Ugh.
Oh, wow.
Just a foot touching me. Yeah. Get out of here.
All right. On that note, Jen, we got to go. Thank you for sharing that information with us.
Yes.
Now I'm hungry and I have an appetite. Probably won't eat till tomorrow.
Yeah.
All right, everybody. Thank you for joining us. Thank you to Meredith for calling in. Thanks, Jen, for coming.
Thank you.
And we'll see everybody on Wednesday.
Bye-bye.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Jen, only on LA Talk Radio.